What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
Dan Jenkins, by the way, the great golf writer, he won't call it anything but the British Open. So I'm going to be like Dan Jenkins. If Dan Jenkins is going to continue to call it the British Open because he's covered it for 50-plus years or 45 championships, I'm going to call it the British Open,
British
too.
Open all the way.
Guess what? They don't have a contract with me. They may have a contract with NBC.
But not up in here.
Not up in here.
That's
it's
right.
It's the British Open.
It's the British Open. Yeah, I'm going to get up at 3 o'clock to see it. I'll call
and
it
And I'll be watching every minute that I can. But I'm calling it the British Open from here on out.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
British Open is right. Round one. Kevin Kisner is your leader with a 66. He's in the clubhouse. Tiger Woods is approaching the tee box, the number one tee box. He will tee off here momentarily.
So, he's not wearing pink pants.
No, he's wearing nice gray slacks, light gray slacks with a little sweater vest.
Powder blue, yeah, white shirt. He's got all the gear. He probably doesn't have any pink pants in his repertoire, I bet.
Yeah, well.
He should.
We'll keep you posted on the leaderboard, get you an update coming up. I'm trying to see where our man Jordan Spieth ended up because he was struggling. He was the 3-under. Now he's back. He's given two strokes back. He's at minus one right now. Got himself in one of those greenside bunkers. That's always fun.
That turned
struggling.
Yeah. Had to come out sideways and just hit it into the hay and just no bueno on that deal. So we'll keep you posted on that throughout the morning. It's Kevin Kisner with a 66. Guy named Eric Van Rooyen, R-O-Y-E-N. He went 67 today, good for 4-under. Ryan Moore, the American, playing great. He's 4-under through six holes. Dude's tearing up.
He's like Charlie Hoffman. The next, he won't be there on or Tony Finau. They don't show up when the weekend comes.
And we told
Bo Hostler just had a birdie. He's 1-under.
Big Bo Hostler.
Birdie on one. Good start.
That's the way to do it.
Just get rid of that visor.
We mentioned earlier on a Buck Off Thursday, Jonathan Vegas's expedition to this thing, the former Longhorn. He was about to fly out to go to Carnoustie earlier this week and discovered that his visa had expired. So he had to wait
That's
to get
a
his
bummer.
He had to wait to get his visa and get all the paperwork done for that. He got on the last flight out that he could actually be on and still make his tee time today, but he somehow forgot his golf bag. I don't know how that happened.
No, he got separated from it during all the travel.
Oh, okay.
He didn't forget it, but at some point, because he was going from place to place to figure out
his bag.
Yeah, he got separated from
it. So
his
TaylorMade
bag.
Had to bring him a brand new set of clubs he's never swung before. He made it just in time for his tee time. He didn't even warm up with them. He's playing a course he's never played. So Jonathan Vegas, the fact that he's out there right now is pretty credit to him. I think he's plus three right now playing Carnoustie for the first time. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Got there late and maybe going home early.
Hey, let me give a couple Buck Offs real quick before we get to our headlines and the breaking news or the news that Tom Herman broke on Chad and Kevin yesterday involving an injured player and an offensive line issue. But can I give a Buck Off to both Greg Popovich and Nick Saban today? Because, like, I know our president likes to blame the media for a lot of things, and I'm not saying the media is perfect. We don't they get stuff wrong. There are biases. We all get that, right? But, you know, the whole fake news thing. So Nick Saban is trying to blame the media at SEC Media Days for creating a quarterback controversy. What do you mean?
You got a controversy.
You put a freshman in during the national title game.
You took out a guy who won a national championship.
And you don't expect the media to ask about that? Yeah. Who's going to be the quarterback? We're creating that? And then our man Greg Popovich said the same thing yesterday. First time he's spoken in months. He says it's the media. You guys stirred up all this trouble. We don't have any issue with Kawhi. What? What are you talking about?
They were trying to get rid of him the whole time.
I wish someone in the media would actually say that, too.
Yeah, right
to him. Nick Saban's like, you guys are creating that. The next question, what do you mean we're creating this? No, we're not.
Yeah, Nick Saban said yesterday, the number one thing you'd like to talk about is the quarterback controversy. You love to create and continue to create. You love to talk about it. It's to be determined. You can ask all the questions you want. I'm going to say we'll see.
Okay, that's fine. But we're going to ask you anyway.
But don't say we created it. It's not true. That ain't true.
We're just asking you a question.
So get your facts straight.
And
how you like that for Dada?
Worse than that is Pop. I mean, these two are the most respect the hell out of these two coaches and leaders. I get them. I mean, Pop is, you know, I mean, hell, I don't know why Nick Saban's so damn surly. He's won 5 national championships the last 9 years.
Because he wants 6. That's why.
Somebody asked him yesterday. He is so surly. Somebody asked him at Big 12 at SEC Media Days yesterday about Central Florida and then claiming their national championship, which everybody kind of giggles at. He snapped off at the reporter. Hey, why don't you ask somebody who can do something about that? I can't do anything about that. That's not my job. I'm coaching my team.
That's right. That's right. They were.
Let's go talk to the
national
conference
champions. Get upset about that, Nick.
But just don't blame us. Greg Popovich cannot blame the talking heads for creating the Kawhi Leonard soap opera. That is unfair, and it's not true.
Well,
Kawhi Leonard created the Kawhi Leonard soap opera, and the Spurs created that. You're not supposed to talk about it. So you planned on trading Kawhi Leonard all along? Was that the
plan? Beginning of the season.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted to do.
That's just, I mean, where's fake news when you need it? That's fake news that we create.
Fake news.
Do we always get it right? No. Do we make some mistakes? Sure. Are there biases in the media? Absolutely. But come on. Let's be fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tom Herman does a little bit of that, too. They're going to ask you about the quarterbacks, Coach. You need to understand. That's like every year that some of those things come up, you know. That's what the media does. That's what their job is to do, is to ask you certain questions. They're going to probably ask you about the wide receivers. And that's what we have to do. We can't go and just listen to you give us stats about the weight room. It doesn't work like that.
Well, he did give the stats about the weight room.
He did. No matter what, he was giving those stats.
Got to.
Yes.
Hey, they're getting stronger. That's a good thing. You need strong players. But I don't want one person that's not allowed to be surly is Nick Saban. This guy is dominating. This guy has more national championships in his career than than all of the other coaches with championships, current coaches combined.
He's got two quarterbacks that won a national championship. They're on the same
coaches.
Team.
All the best coaches are surely, right? Saban's the best college football coach. Belichick, best NFL
coach. Of course
coach.
They are.
The best NBA coach. They're all surly with the media.
Bill Parcells was surly.
I don't mind surly, but don't blame us for creating controversies that are – we're just asking questions.
Well, if you guys wouldn't ask those questions, why do you have to ask those questions? Leave them be.
Like, who's going to play the most important position on your football team? That's a fairly important question. Or is it not?
It is. It's fair.
Like, we're kind of the bridge from the fans to the team, right? Don't you think the fans would like to know who's going to play quarterback? Or do they care? No, don't care. Alabama, they get to say whoever, we're fine.
Yeah. Whatever Nick says, the quarterback
whatever
is,
Nick says,
we're,
you got a
we're
guy,
good with.
You got a guy who's either 27-2 as a starter or a dude who came in and won the national championship game from
Tagovailoa.
2 scores down.
Yeah, Tua or Jalen Hurts. But, yes. Yeah, so
Jalen Hurts is still hanging around there.
Oh, yeah, he's 27-2.
Why isn't he transferring anywhere?
Some people believe he will if Tagovailoa wins that job.
This summer?
Yeah.
He'll be out of there. Okay.
It would be after this season. Not this year he wouldn't transfer, but after this year potentially. We'll see. We'll see. All right, let's get some headlines, and we'll hear from Tom Herman coming up. He broke some news yesterday right here on this very radio station. Let's get you the news. Top Gun, Lawn and Equipment Rentals, bringing you the headlines. That's Top Gun with TwoEnds.net, our buddy Brandon Mars. How about news from Texas football? During an interview with Chad and Kevin yesterday afternoon, Texas head coach Tom Herman announced some bad news involving his junior college transfer offensive lineman, Mikey Grandy.
And unfortunately, Mikey Grandy is medically disqualified.
Okay.
The doctor said, you know, it's not smart for you to try to continue to play football, so he's going to continue here at the University of Texas, get his degree on scholarship, and we wish him the best of luck.
All right. So Grandy had come in from San Mateo Junior College, signed in December, and enrolled in January. But that will be a hit to some of the depth there. At Big 12 Media Days this week, Coach Herman said that left tackle and right guard are two of the biggest open position battles going on when fall camp opens on August the 3rd. NBA, after their season and summer of discontent, the Spurs have traded their disgruntled star Kawhi Leonard and guard Danny Green to Toronto in exchange for 4-time All-Star DeMar DeRozan, up-and-coming center Jacob Poeltl, and Jakoba Poeltl, I should say, and protected 2019 first-round draft pick. Leonard played just 9 games last season, then distanced himself from the club during the playoffs, finally demanded a trade this offseason. Upon its completion yesterday, Spurs head coach Greg Popovich spoke publicly for the first time in months and says it's time to move on and look look forward?
You know, Kawhi conducted himself wonderfully while he was here. You know, he helped us win a fifth championship. As I said, he was a hard worker all the time, and we wish him well. But at this point, you know, it's time to move on. I'm concerned about Jakob and DeMar and our basketball team and putting that together. We've got a lot of young kids, and it's exciting.
So now a Toronto Raptor, at least for this year. In baseball, another blockbuster deal was consummated yesterday. Dodgers sent five prospects, including the highly touted outfielder Yusniel Diaz, to the Baltimore Orioles and acquired Manny Machado, the shortstop, the all-star. He will now be a Dodger moving forward. The Dodgers already lead the NL West by half game over Arizona. 26-year-old will be introduced in Milwaukee, ironically, on Friday, where the Dodgers open a series against the Brew Crew. Of course, the Brewers were heavily involved in that trade discussion as well. Post-All-Star break opens tonight for two teams, Cubs and Cardinals, opening a five-game series at Wrigley. Astros and Rangers join the rest of the league back on the field on Friday. Astros open a weekend set in Anaheim, facing Mike Trout and the Angels. Texas will host Cleveland. Astros, by the way, last night at the annual ESPY Awards in Los Angeles, honored as the best team for their run to the championship last year. Nick Foles of Westlake High, and of course the Philadelphia Eagles, won the Best Championship Performance Award, and Lake Travis QB, former Lake Travis QB, Baker Mayfield, named the Best College Athlete. And that's the news.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Get a free steel or Husqvarna weed eater with every riding mower purchased through the end of July at Top Gun Equipment. TopGun.net, we'll shoot you straight.
So Brandon Marsh and the baby.
Last night. Yeah, we had the meet and greet with Tom Herman and our great partners, like Brandon Mars and Top Gun Reynolds. Yeah, I saw a lot of great people last night. It's fun. Good to see all those folks who they listen and support the radio station and good partners with what we do.
Nick Saban, he's unbelievable. That is funny. Well, this is like kind of going to the low-T doctor and getting mad at the doctor when he says to you, "How's your balls?" okay.
This is E being the typical talking head, crying out loud when a coach puts him in his place. Be accountable. What are we accountable to? How did the media create a quarterback controversy at Alabama?
It's just a controversy.
How did that happen? How is that? What is accountable about that? There are two quarterbacks. The fans would like to know who is going to be the quarterback.
Sure.
You ask the question. If he doesn't want to answer it, don't answer it. All I'm saying is don't blame us for creating a controversy that's clearly there. And to my thinking, worse than that is Greg Popovich somehow saying that the talking heads in the media created the Kawhi Leonard soap opera. Well, that's ludicrous.
Like there was no drama between you two? Like everything was good the whole time?
Oh, we were hunky-dory the whole time. This was just the way this plays out. Sometimes things happen that way. And
that's why the top three player in the NBA is gone now, because there's no controversy.
Right. And I'm all fine. I'm great with move on. We got to focus on what we have now, turn the page, the whole thing. But don't say it was created by the media somehow. That's ridiculous. It was Pop and the Spurs and the Kawhi camp using the media to put their own messages out and drive this story. That would be the media's use in this. All right, let's look who just sat down with us in his nice looking cowboy hat. He is a great friend of the show, great friend of the station. He's part of Coke Fest coming up August 10th and 11th out in Hutto, Texas, and I believe he's newly married.
Yeah,
he is our friend Josh Abbott.
Thanks for letting me come by.
How are you, man?
What's going on? Awesome. Came
you
up here
a new
to
wife.
Yeah, man, came up here and was doing some stuff with the country station, Coke FM, over here, and they said, go by the sports station. I said, all right, I'll come by.
How's Bob Cole down there?
He's good.
Is he?
Just doing his thing.
And Eric Raines?
They're all just, yeah, doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Fantastic, man. It's almost
talking
football
Spurs,
season.
Huh? I love that whole thing. I tweeted yesterday. I was like, it's comic. It's just irony. It's just greatness, right, for him to be like, oh, you want to go to L.A.? You know, you want to be in the beach because, you know, you want that warm weather. I'm going to send your ass to Canada. Have fun.
Yeah, he may end up there anyway and get his way when he's a free agent, but he's now Toronto's problem to deal with.
Yeah. I think they'll just trade him to the Clippers.
Possibly.
I think by February.
You think so? You think
the Clippers will be the season?
I mean, the reason I think that is because before the draft, there were rumors that they were trying to trade DeMarcus DeRozan to the Clippers for those picks. And then even when they drafted Gilgeous-Alexander, something like that. He's the kid out of Kentucky, the point guard. And he had a really good summer league, by the way, the last couple weeks. And they were really high on him, and they were still, even when they drafted him, they were like, we'll send you DeRozan for him. It didn't go through.
Mm-hmm.
So now they trade DeRozan for Kawhi, I think.
And Kawhi's a better chip
for the
Clippers.
I think Kawhi wants to be at the Clippers. That's a better chip for them. So I wouldn't be surprised by February trade deadline if they just
swapped. Well, that's some of the reasons people were saying he really doesn't want to play with LeBron. Doesn't mean he doesn't want to be in L.A., but he doesn't keep here. I'm like, why wouldn't you want to play with LeBron?
Which is crazy because if he went and played with LeBron, that would be the closest thing LeBron's had to a Pippen.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Or,
you know, like Jordan had, because Jordan, I mean, I think people discount how great Pippen was. I mean, Jordan is the GOAT, but Pippen was a great player. Remember when Jordan retired that first time? Pippen took the Bulls to, like, the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and then he wouldn't.
Then he started getting headaches.
Yeah, he wouldn't go in the game.
He dang near averaged a triple-double, if I remember correctly.
It's like Steph Curry getting Durant. I mean, that's a great team, but you add a player like that. But, I mean, Kawhi is the Pippen comparison is accurate in that he's an unbelievable defender, and Pippen could lock down whoever needed lockdown.
Perimeter defender and can score. And so it's like, man, that'd be the piece LeBron needs. But, yeah, I think Kawhi doesn't. I've heard that the reason he didn't want to be in San Antonio is because he felt like he deserved more star attention. He felt like, look, if I'm really a top three, top four, top five NBA player, you know, his Nike deal, if you go look at the deal he got shoe-wise compared to the other players, was not near as high. And it's because his, like, popularity among young basketball players wasn't as high, right?
The dude doesn't talk. He doesn't say boo.
I know, but apparently his camp felt like that was because they played in San Antonio, which is why they wanted to go to LA.
And they were willing to give up that Supermax contract that only San Antonio could sign him to, knowing that you can make that money up on shoe deals and endorsement deals
exactly.
in Los Angeles.
And
so I could see him
That's why he doesn't want to be LeBron's sidekick.
Well, yeah, I can see him doing Men's Warehouse stuff where he just puts clothes on and walks around and doesn't speak. I think that would be cool for
he could be the mannequin at the
I just think
just stand there.
I just think eventually he's going to the Clippers.
Well, that's interesting because I still think he'll be a Laker, because my thought on the Lakers will be they have a better, well, if the Clippers have nice picks to offer, Toronto might be that. But my thought on the Lakers is, you know, LeBron's 30, he'll be 34 years old this year. Kawhi's 26. LeBron, you can be his running buddy for a couple years on the way to titles, and then he moves on and you're the star.
Right.
Along with
in LA,
in Los Angeles, you're center stage.
And he would have to, I mean, I guess he's more of a two guard. I think of him as a three, but I guess he plays a lot of two guard. And
Kawhi plays anywhere. I mean, he can guard all five positions. That's what's great about him. And he's kind of like LeBron. LeBron can play five positions.
Yeah.
I mean, when people will forget, and I know Spurs fans won't, but when Kawhi was, before that ankle injury against Golden State and in that playoff run, Kawhi Leonard was playing. I mean, he was the closest thing we've seen to LeBron at that point. I mean, he was...
As a defender, offensive player,
he was delivering
defender,
them. Yeah. He was hitting big shots. He had that 50-point game, or nearly 50, against Memphis at one point. Mm-hmm. He was really... And that's a two-way player that are hard to find. Josh Abbott's hanging out. He's got music, but he knows more about sports than most of us. What do you just when you're on the bus and you're going place to place? You're just scouring the sites and reading up.
Well,
you pull out your mags and stuff. And
Yeah. Well, so, you know, first of all, I'm just a huge sports fan, and so I'm kind of that guy that has always been a fan of the games, and so kind of followed it since I was a kid. Sometimes I'm just traveling on the bus and sitting around before a show, and I'll watch TV or I'll listen to a podcast or I'll read a blog. And you know, I've got a lot, and because of what I do, I've been able to make friends within certain organizations, and sometimes they keep me up to date on some of the street talk or whatever, the rumors they're hearing. I mean, the night before the draft, I got a text from a friend of mine that works with an NBA team, and he said, the Raptors are trying to make noise, just so you know. I was like, okay, cool. And then sure enough, apparently they've been shopping DeRozan for a little bit, and they told him that they weren't. But they
were. That's why he's so bitter.
And that's why he's upset. But I think he'll enjoy San Antonio.
Yeah, LaMarcus is there. They've got a pretty good
team. They're going to be good. No offense to the Rockets. They had a great year last year. But I think, like, this past season was their year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If Chris Paul stays healthy, they probably win that series. And they probably win the NBA Finals.
Chris Paul never stays healthy.
He never stays healthy. I don't think they recreate that magic again next year.
I think they lost key assets.
Yeah, they lost.
And everyone's like,
well,
they may add Carmelo. I'm like, how many finals has Carmelo been to?
Yeah, that'll be, what is he, a ball stopper at this point?
Yeah.
He plays no defense. And Trevor Ariza was exactly the glue guy they needed, who played defense and would shoot when he's open.
Carmelo is like another version of Dirk at this point. You know what I mean? He's just the guy that trots up there and takes jump shots.
I'll take Dirk.
But he doesn't even play. I'll take Dirk any day.
Yeah.
I can still out-jump both of those guys. I can get off the floor higher than both of those guys on a jump shot.
Yeah, but you ain't got Dirk's wingspan.
No, I don't.
Not a seven-footer. The German.
You making any music? You making any new music? Anything coming out?
Not right now, but we'll probably soon. We're going to go record.
In the fall?
The album that we have out now has only been out since last August, so it's not even a year old. So we'll continue touring through the rest of this year on that album, record an album at some point this fall, winter, and then I think you'd look for a new album from us next year.
In the springtime?
Yeah, probably. Spring, early summer.
How are things going? I mean, I know you made some, with this new album, you had the hit singles, and you did the Jimmy Kimmel, and you did the tour. You've been doing well. The tour going well?
Yeah, it has been. We pumped the brakes really hard this year and really brought them to a halt this summer. Because I didn't want to be gone as much. I have a kid. My wife and I, we just got married a couple weeks ago. And
congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I saw the pictures.
It was awesome. And she's been a huge blessing to me and our little baby girl, too. So I didn't want to miss a lot of that by being on the road all the time. So I was like, you know, I just want to chill. So we're not playing near as much. Like, normally we would play 130 to 150 shows a year. This year we're probably playing, like, maybe 90.
Got to be home with that baby
sometime. Which is still
sometime.
A lot.
That's still a lot.
And then this... A lot, like right now, we're not even touring. I mean, we played July 3rd. Our next gig is July, like, 27, 28.
Wow.
And then even after that, the weekend after that, we don't play. The weekend after that, we have one gig, Coke Fest, coming up in August. So it's like we're not touring a lot right now. I
wanted
to just
spend some time at home.
Man, exactly. You don't get that time back. If I learned anything from my dad dying, it was that you don't know. And if family is the most important thing on earth, and that's the thing you'll mourn, and that's the thing you'll miss,
we all say that. But
spend your time now with them.
We all say how important family is, but
how long ago was that?
You
got to
make time for them.
My dad, he passed away last March 2017. So it's been, you know, I guess a year and 4 months, 3 months.
So you're liking that baby thing, though, huh?
Loving it.
You know what? I just got married 6 weeks ago.
Hey.
Josh, you know what I'm doing? I want to have a baby, too.
You do?
Yeah.
He's 62 years old. I'm trying to tap the brakes on that.
What, are you Mick Jagger?
But his wife's
Wasn't
also...
Isn't that who just had a baby?
Yeah. His new wife is in that age bracket, too. I don't want to give her age, but
yeah,
I think we're a little past our time here.
They could adopt.
Miracle baby. No.
Why don't you go adopt?
I did that already.
Oh, you
I already
did?
Picked one off the street. I'm not doing that a second time.
Come on, man.
Because they cost the same. I'm just thinking, miracle baby. Nothing like a miracle baby, right?
You guys need to be all over the Inquirer and stuff. A 60-something-year-old couple having a baby in Austin, Texas.
Great.
Yeah, that'll be great when he's 20 or she's 20.
Ooh.
And you're 80-some.
In a walker.
Hey, Josh, can you hang for a little bit when we come back? I want to ask you about the music industry a little bit, how things are going there, how it is for
I'd
a touring
I'd rather talk sports.
And more talk sports, because sports is more fun for us, too. And I want to, because we were just back from Big 12 Media Days. We talked to your guy, Cliff Kingsbury. I know you're a big Red Raider fan. He was there. We'll talk some Big 12 football, get your thoughts there as well. Josh Abbott and the Josh Abbott Band, part of Coke Fest in Hutto, coming up August 10th and 11th. You'll be the Saturday headliner there, which is tremendous to close things down out there at the park in Hutto. We'll talk more about that coming up as well. Remember, CokeFest.com is where you find all that info for the two-day festival in Hutto. We're coming right back on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Josh Abbott hanging out with us. Josh Abbott Band, of course. Touring musician, heck of a great talent. He'll be part of Coke Fest coming up August 10 and 11 out in Hutto. And he's in here with us. We're talking sports because he's maybe a bigger sports fan than he is a musician, music fan.
Probably.
But recently married, and you mentioned Cliff Kingsbury was at your wedding.
Yeah, he was. We had some athletes there. Jordan Shipley was at our wedding.
Nice.
I'm sure a lot of Longhorns on this just got real excited anytime you say his name.
Oh, yeah.
Let me think. Who else? What is an athlete? Andy Dalton was there.
The Red Rifle.
Red Rifle, yes.
I'm probably missing a few, but yeah, we had
so that's
some former
Cliff,
college
that's
players.
Cliff was down in Dripping Springs.
Yeah, Bucky came in on Monday morning
down.
And said, I saw Cliff at the diner having breakfast, but you say his brother lives down that way.
Yeah, his brother lives in the Austin area.
You formed your band in Lubbock while you were going, and I didn't know you got a master's degree from Texas Tech. Nice job.
I did, yeah.
Nice. you know, all the education he's got over here, this
Heck
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But so you formed the band there, but of course, tight with the Red Raiders and always rooting them on. We saw Cliff just on Monday at Big 12 Football Media Days. He's got to replace pretty much his entire offense and quarterback, but a defense that, you know, had three guys on the all Big 12 preseason team, mm-hmm. which raised a lot of eyebrows.
Which is, when's the last time that happened?
No, never.
Or, well, I mean, maybe never, but I remember growing up as a kid, you know, those mid-90s, late-90s teams had, you know, Zach Thomas and
a couple of defensive linemen, too, right?
And Coleman.
Marcus Coleman.
Marcus Coleman. And there was a bunch, you know, we had a pretty good D back then. Had some guys that went to the league.
The Spike Dykes teams, right?
And even the early 2000s, you know, we had Mike Smith, who played in the
That's
league,
right.
and several guys. So I guess it's been a while since we've had that. I think that's what makes everyone excited for this Tech year, is because even though it's like, oh, God, who's our quarterback? You know, you almost just have confidence that Cliff, the spread offense, Texas Tech, plug and play, that we're going to score 35 points a game regardless. So now we need a defense that can hold them to 28. And we got a lot of guys coming back. And, yeah, I think we're all really excited about it.
Well, and we've talked a lot here in Austin that win here in Austin for Texas Tech last November, which is just such a gut punch for the Texas Longhorn program.
Two in a row.
Yeah, really saved Cliff's job. I mean, there's a lot of thought he
for
wouldn't
sure.
have been back had they lost that game. And I think he knows that, and that's
yeah.
how big that win was. But here he is. He gets second life. Let's make the most of it. And you and we were talking during the break, and we've given credit to Cliff because – you know, the quarterback recruiting he has done. I mean, to have
yeah.
Davis Webb and Baker Mayfield and Pat Mahomes, and you mentioned that at one point Jared Stidham, who's going to be
Stidham
the quarterback at Auburn, was a Texas Tech commit, but saw the crowded quarterback room and said, maybe I'll go to Baylor. I think there was also a girl involved in that deal, his girlfriend.
Well, I think there was a lot of illegal stuff going on in that deal. I mean, I know some things. What's all we
you
all know?
Riles?
Yeah, Baylor was basically. I don't know. We'll get into it, but Baylor was giving stuff away, and anyway, so they got some
Baylor?
Players. They got some
you mean,
players.
Art Riles was doing that. I don't think Matt Rule's doing that anymore.
Hey,
but we'll see.
Karma's undefeated, and it's good to see Baylor at the bottom again.
That's exactly right.
You know.
Yep, I said that at me.
Texas Tech will be playing that beginning schedule to start out. SEC, you're playing Ole Miss, and then you get to Lamar. But, man, right after that, you go to University of Houston, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, TCU. I mean, there's an early stretch.
Five games early.
It's
yeah.
not way down the
no,
road.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
we don't,
early.
Yeah, we don't get Kansas to warm up. We don't get Baylor to warm up. We're kind of dive into it. I mean, that Ole Miss, man, off the bat is.
You going to go down to that game in Houston?
I really want to, but I'm supposed to be. The night before that, we play in Ruidoso, New Mexico, and my wife's family has a vacation home up there, so I think that we're probably just going to spend the weekend up there,
mm-hmm.
watch it on TV. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, that'll be a fun game, but in the same sense, you know, SEC team coming in.
New coach.
Fully healthy. You know they're going to be tough on D. I don't know. I'm a little worried about that game, not worried about Houston
at all.
Well,
it's nice to get them with a new coach, and it's the first game.
Where is the Houston game? Do they play that?
It's in Lubbock.
In Lubbock.
It's in Lubbock, yeah.
Major.
The TCU.
Major.
You know, we beat them last year. That's a team we can beat. I'm not scared of them. In fact, I don't know. Have they announced their quarterback situation? Is that Sean Robinson?
It'll be Sean Robinson.
I mean, the kid can run, but I'm not worried about his arm, and I think we'll be fine there.
If your offense is good, it'll have to be because
West Virginia will be
TCU
tough.
Defense will be good.
Dana seems to have. I don't want to say he has Cliff's number, but Dana that West Virginia team's talented. They got
Will Greer
and they also got those
wide receivers
transfers on the D line.
Yeah, plug them in. Yeah, that they knew they needed bodies on the D line because they were struggling there.
We struggle against Oklahoma State. For some reason, I think they've beat us 8 games in a row now. I feel like that's the team that we haven't. Nobody realizes that, but they've just beat us forever now. It seems like, but you know they've got some uncertainty on their squad as well. OU does as well. We've got them at home. We got UT at home. Maybe it's time to beat y'all in Lubbock. Why can't we beat y'all in Austin twice now? We can't beat y'all in Lubbock. What's the deal?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, no, it's bizarre.
So anyway, I like a home schedule.
This is a tough schedule.
But I like the home schedule.
Well, let me say this about the Big 12. I mean, and a lot of the coaches made point of this up there, and it's an absolute valid point. Well, the SEC gets all the headlines, and it's the SEC. Texas, Maryland, I mean Texas, West Virginia, a handful of teams in the Big 12 are playing 11 games against Power 5 schools. 11 games. And the one Power 5 school Texas is not playing is Tulsa. And it's not like they're some directional school
right.
from the middle of nowhere.
Right.
That's a decent little program at Tulsa. I'm not saying that they're great, but that's a when you're playing 11 Power 5 conference programs, West Virginia is doing the exact same thing. They're playing Tennessee and North Carolina State
yeah.
out of conference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's big, and the coaches were saying, and I think they're right, they should be getting, the Big 12 should be getting more credit for that. The Pac-12 should be getting more credit for that.
And the SEC is playing no one.
They play eight, because they only play eight conference games. They always play that patsy game late in the
November.
Season, that 12th game that they add that's just a nobody. And you know, typically out of conference, they don't play the heavyweights. I mean, Alabama will go play a neutral site game,
mm-hmm.
which they typically do, and you give them credit for that. But I give
yeah.
the Big 12 credit. They're scheduling tough. And they should be rewarded for it, at least in the conversation that goes on.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, Tech's got, you know, the 12 games, they're playing, obviously, the 9 in conference, and they're playing Ole Miss. And the other two games are, like, Houston
and Lamar.
And Lamar. Obviously, they'll destroy Lamar, but, you know, Houston, I think, will beat them pretty handily, too.
Well,
but
I think
but they've been respectable over the last
right.
few years.
I just think it's good for the fans, too. The fans, you know, they're
yeah,
always
yeah.
clamoring. When are we going to play
games.
Somebody good? Are we going to play anybody good at home this year? You start putting SEC schools on your early season. That's great, and
mm-hmm.
especially for teams that may have something to play for at the very end in this conference. If a TCU can beat Ohio State in the first three games, they're in the national picture. You win.
Yeah.
You beat Ohio State. You're in it.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, BK, what do you think of Josh Abbott's thought and contention that the Clippers are the team that lands Kawhi Leonard in a trade before next year's deadline?
Man, who knows at this point with Kawhi Leonard. There was a report that came out a couple weeks ago, though, that said he didn't want to play with LeBron. And I don't know why you wouldn't want to play with LeBron James, but we'll see. L.A. is obviously his destination. He's got two choices there. I'm with you, E., though. I think when it's all said and done, he will sign with the Lakers, but at this point, those are probably the two front runners right there, the Lakers and the Clippers.
Oh, Specs text line on point says, actually, Josh, TCU beat Texas Tech last year in Lubbock.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I guess I was thinking of, my bad on that, I was thinking of when we beat TCU in TCU, maybe that was two seasons ago.
Two seasons, yeah, they all kind of run
my
together.
My bad.
That's all right. No, TCU will be an interesting team. I mean, that's
but that is a team we play well.
Yes.
And Gary Patterson, one of the best coaches in
oh,
college football.
Yes.
No, we love talking
the
to
the guy,
Gary.
Everyone knows how he recruits, develops. I mean, just
he's a developer of talent.
And their team's great. But for some reason, that's that team we play really well. Always, it seems like. And then, but Oklahoma State's not that team. I don't
yeah,
know why.
Another side of that.
They destroy us. And Iowa State the last two seasons in a row really beat Tech pretty bad. But I think that evens out this next year. I don't. Because they lost that receiver kid, Lazard, and
Matt Campbell's a great young coach, though. I mean,
he is a good coach.
We come back from Big 12 media, is getting to talk to these coaches. That's one thing I feel good about if you're a Big 12 fan, is there's some good, really good coaches. You know, Snyder and Gary Patterson. I mean, these are tremendous coaches. But, you know, the youth, I mean, Matt Campbell, Lincoln Riley, Tom Herman, you know, we'll see if Cliff can get this thing turned at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's some tremendous young coaches. And Matt Campbell might be among the top young coaches in all the industry. I mean,
yeah.
He's tremendous.
I know everybody at Iowa State was – they're worried about him being poached away and
eventually
and you know, this last season he had that good year and then, you know, he stayed, said he didn't want to take any job offers, and everyone's like, yeah, I'm like, calm down, you're still Iowa State. And
well, you know what,
at the end of the day, when he finds more success, he's leaving. He's not going to be there for 20 years. It's just not the way it works.
No,
but you know
because
what, though?
You can always have one of those years or 2 years or 3 years in a row at Iowa State.
But you know what I think will happen, and a trend in college football, I think we're already seeing, that the salaries are so high, that the revenues are so high. I mean, the Big Ten, because of their network, are churning out $50 million to their teams across the board.
And what did the Big 12 get, like 30-something
yeah,
each?
But they're splitting between less teams. But
now, who was that told us about that? Was it Gary Patterson that talked to us, or was it Matt Rule that said, you know, coaches now don't want to be picking up. They're making all kinds of money.
That's right.
When you're making
$3 million. Well, so my point on Matt Campbell is there's a lot of people in and around Columbus, Ohio, that thinks Matt Campbell at some point will be the coach at Ohio State because he's from that area, grew up, you know, that's his so he's going to make a ton of money. He can build Iowa State until that comes available. He doesn't have to go chasing.
He didn't have to run
and bouncing. And you can win at Iowa State. I mean, you can't win at the levels of Ohio State, for crying out loud,
right,
or Texas, but I mean my point to that would be, as a 38-year-old coach, typically you'd have to take that next job and then the big one. You can sit there, wait, and make $3-4 million, and you know, build your program, and then when the job you really want opens, put yourself in the mix there.
Scott Frost.
Yeah.
Great example.
Yeah, and Scott Frost had to take it. He didn't, you know, there were a lot of folks that thought that Central Florida might be able to keep him, but
no.
Home calls, you go home.
Yeah, the separation of the money right now is, the gap is not that huge. It's, you start looking at guys making $3.5 million and $4 million, the fact that they say, you know what, I don't really want to pick my family up. I think I make enough money right now.
Right.
Why do I need to run off to that place?
How much money is $4 million? I don't know what Matt Campbell's current salary is, but I'm assuming it's in that ballpark.
I'm going to guess.
Three-something probably.
But that's in Ames. That's in Ames,
two.
Iowa. What is $4 million in Ames, Iowa?
Everything.
I bet he didn't make three. I bet he makes like 2.5.
They had to have given him a bump last year. I'll look that up in the break and get the thought on that. But Josh Abbott, tell us about Coke Fest and how they can get tickets. I know, as you said, you're not touring much. So folks who love your music, I know there are a lot of them that listen.
Yeah.
You haven't seen a lot of chances. This is an opportunity to get out there and see you guys.
Yeah, I wanted to be home a lot more this year, so not touring near as much. But yeah, we got Coke Fest coming up in August. Is it 11th? Is it 10th?
Yep.
I don't want to get it wrong.
That weekend.
Friday, August 10th, and then the 11th are you and Wade
Bowen.
Yeah,
it's both. Yeah.
You and Wade,
so,
Cole Wetzel.
Yeah, so Friday night's Aaron and Mark Chestnut, I think, and Mike Ryan. Solid little country night there, and then Saturday is us, Wade Bowen, a guy that's making a lot of noise in the scene is Coe Wetzel, younger guy, and there's some other good names on there, so I'm excited for it. Always fun to play in Austin, too, because, you know, it's going to take me 15-20 minutes to get there, assuming traffic isn't
sleeping in your own bed that night.
Yeah, be in my own bed all weekend.
It's great. Hey, Josh, we appreciate it, my friend. Good to see you, and get to CokeFest.com. Coming up, we've got Salacious Gossip and then your Blitz. This is when we let people call in and say whatever the hell they want.
And they do.
And it really gets ugly.
What
so.
they just talk crap about other teams? Or
about people, other people.
Whatever.
People are really
so you're like, you need to
nasty.
Get out of here before they call in.
Or you're welcome to listen.
Oh, you don't want to listen. You need to go.
Your Texas Tech conversation,
oh,
you might
no,
get them
I'm in the danger zone here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we'll come back. Salacious Gossip, Blitz, re-roll on a Buck Off Thursday. It's B&E on the Horn. Thank you to Josh Abbott, CokeFest.com.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just gossip. It's brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light. Coke Fest is one of the great sponsors of Bud and Bud Light with that event. And I appreciate Josh Abbott. It says Matt Campbell makes $3.5 million.
That ain't chump change.
Living in Ames, Iowa, too. That's like $5 million anywhere else. I mean, come on.
$30 million anywhere else.
I was in Ames last year. It's a nice place, but cost of living low. This says, damn, Josh Abbott knows his sports. Bring him back. Excellent guest. Yeah, Josh was great. He does. He drives around the tour bus, listening to podcasts, reading. He knows his stuff for
He loves sure. his Red Raiders.
He does. And Cliff's his buddy. Cliff was at his wedding.
I know. I saw Cliff. We cross paths.
You know what? That's a wedding we should have crashed. And we could have been the wedding crashers.
That would have been a good one to crash. You're absolutely
oh,
right.
Yeah.
You know there were some ladies there.
You know, you're both married. So that
oh, that's right. I forgot.
BK.
Yeah. We could have sent BK.
BK, you should have crashed that
on a
wedding.
Mission.
You guys have some weddings for me to attend out there? Please let me know.
You wedding crashers.
Got a couple coming up at the end of the year. Looking forward to that. It's that time, baby.
Nice.
Okay, by the way, this is one of those stories that I'm just going to read the headline. Every once in a while we get a story where I just read the headline. We have to go any further in our salacious gossip. This from, what do we have, Dateline, The Irish Sun. This happened in Ireland, apparently. The Irish News. It says, sick man who had relations with a horse claimed the animal gave consent by winking at him.
Horses wink all the time.
That's enough, right? We're done. We're done with the story.
Animals wink.
Move on. Find another story.
Daniel
to write.
Raymond Webb Jackson, jailed 10 months. He's caught in by the trainer and cameras inside the stables in New South Wales, Australia.
In a stable with a horse.
That's a
or else
you're
going to be.
Are
you going to be in the bedroom? Though?
Out in the field
stable.
Somewhere. Out in the field. In a barn with the horse?
That's where horses live, or is it in a barn? Down the stable.
What's the crime?
The crime is you're not allowed to have
bestiality.
Yeah,
okay.
You're not
and like the official term for that.
Horseplay. How's that?
Jeez.
See,
at least
I mean,
it wasn't the other way around.
But this guy's defense was this guy's defense was the horse winked at him, like, oh yeah, hey now.
Yeah, well, my cat winks at me all the time.
What a beautiful woman.
Whoa, that is disgusting.
Bed my cat. I mean, really? Come on, man. What is wrong with people? What is wrong with those people?
Where are we at in society today?
You know how many times my wife and I look at each other while we're watching the news or something? It's like, what is wrong with people? Who are these people?
I don't know. There was a clown in here yesterday.
Mickey Mouse? No, that was not just any clown. That was Ronald McDonald.
Was that really the Ronald McDonald?
Ronald McDonald was up in here.
I think the real Ronald McDonald is now dead.
I need to check BK's belly because he ate a day-old Big Mac this morning. How you feeling?
Two Big Macs in 2 days.
Plus, clowns are not allowed to talk as much as that dude talked yesterday.
Oh, that dude was on speed or something.
He and Rod Babers were like having a contest.
They're like brothers from another mother right there, those two.
I was listening to that guy. He was going like, Rob was like going, hey, okay,
hey, slow
Ronald,
down there,
goodbye.
Big boy.
He's going like, bye. He goes, do I have to leave now? You don't have to leave.
Six lines deep on the hotline. Let's release the hounds. It's time for your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, here we go. First Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Aaron, this is Dunley. Listen, I've already gone to the authorities in Wyoming to report you for abusing me when you were working the food ranch.
That's right. Yeah. Next Blitz.
I don't think that mayor winked either, by the way, in the Nunley incident.
Close her eyes and never open them again. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, I'm going to need two tickets for Coke Fest for me and my best friend, Putin. This is Donald Trump.
You're my best friend.
I'd like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Is Josh still there?
No, he had to get out.
He's gone.
I want to ask Mr. Abbott, you know, how hard was it switching that glove over to the other hand when he was pitching in the major league?
It's not that Josh.
It's not
Abbott.
The great pitcher Josh Abbott out of Michigan with the Angels. No, this is Josh Abbott and the Josh Abbott band.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Bucky, you know you got a pair of pink pants, pink shorts, and pink top.
I don't have all of those things, just the pants. Now I'm going to throw those out. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Guys, I got breaking news.
Okay.
I found the sponsor for Coke Fest. He's on I-35 at University Avenue, pulled over with a couple dogs.
No, it's not Coke Fest. Okay. Listen, okay, I know cocaine is shortened to Coke.
Yes.
No, it's Coke, K-O-K-E Fest. Coke
it's
Fest.
Totally different. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky.
Yeah.
When you went back in Alaska, did I hear you gave consent to the Yeti?
No,
Yeti.
I did not mess with a Yeti. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Who's this guy the Spurs got? DeMario De La Rosa or whatever?
DeMar DeRozan.
De La Rosa.
No, he's not Spanish.
Leon De La Rosa?
No.
Next Blitzer, you're
he's
up.
He's not Hispanic, I don't believe.
I don't know about a horse, but I get with Hillary Clinton and that donkey she got falling.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Shut it down!
That's awesome.
He says she's got a donkey following her. No, come on.
A donkey?
Wow. You mean kadunkadunk?
I want me some glory hole.
Hey, we got to get you a leaderboard update. Tiger Woods on the course. Jordan Spieth done was his first round at Carnoustie. It is the Open Championship. I just did it. The British Open Championship. Sorry. We'll also get you details. Tom Herman with some breaking news last night about the health of one of his offensive linemen, and it's not good health, I'll tell you that. This guy says, I would listen to that Rod and Ron show. That was hilarious. Good chemistry. That is tremendous. So, Ronald McDonald. Rod and Ron.
Rod and Ron.
Why
do you want to be a clown?
Did he know sports or something?
I don't think so.
What are you doing about Big Macs? French fries?
Why do you want to be a clown?
All right, we'll be back.
Who grows up wanting to be a clown?
This is the show of the people on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.